I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Podcastianos, presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. Before or after the game of America, stop by Moots for a full pie or just a slice of authentic New York pizza. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, very excited to finally be back on the air with Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you, buddy?
What's up, buddy? I'm doing well. It's slipping into something old and familiar, like a comfortable pair of jeans, Hall.
Yeah. Speaking of unfamiliar, how did things go with Chris and Colin?
It was fun. It was different than usual, but we kept some of the old standbys. You know, the power rankings was still around. I got to tell you, I had to do a little role reversal. I had to pretend to be the host, and you make it seem easy. I fumbled my way through, and I tried to pretend to be the adult, but it was difficult.
We should try switching that up, just you and I, 1 week. That would be fun. I'll power rank, you go running.
Maybe I'll take my car out for a ride and see who I can find.
So what was Colin up to these days?
He is a part of a business that his wife started where they do smoothies. And I forget the name of the town, but in Ohio. So they work together and they run their smoothie shop. I put the link in one of the episode notes, but visit Colin's the Ballister smoothie shop. And he seems to be loving life. So kiddos and family life, he's doing his thing.
The official smoothie shop of the Podcastianos?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
So since last time I was on, spent both time in both Colorado and Kansas. Eric, so this has kind of come to the forefront, specifically in being in that part of the country. What region would you say that those states are in?
I would say Colorado would be like the Mountain West, and Kansas would be like the Great Plains.
All right. See, I completely agree with those. I was told in both places that we were still in the Midwest, which is outrageous.
No.
I set many a Kansan and Coloradan straight with that specific sentiment.
Like people who live there would claim that they're Midwesterners?
Yeah. Like I'm from Michigan, or I guess Indiana. We're from Colorado, both Midwesterners.
Nope. No, I mean, only if you're from Los Angeles or New York City would you consider the whole center of America the Midwest. I mean, it surprises me that people live there would claim them.
I think the Midwest should be reapportioned, because I'm assuming that the Midwest was named that like as we were expanding westward, and maybe it didn't go all the way to California. I think there should be Great Lakes, Midwest, Great Plains, Rocky Mountain. Like I think all of those should be as ubiquitous as Midwest. But that's just me. That's my soapbox.
So if you are going to call the new region the Great Lakes, would we be no longer in the Midwest?
Or I would give Midwest to like Iowa and Missouri. I don't know. Nebraska. I'm not sure where that. Yeah, Nebraska. I'm not sure where that and the Great Plains like divide. But Yeah. I mean, you got like basically anything that touches a Great Lake. See, other than maybe Pennsylvania, like Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, screw Ohio. They don't get in anything. But that would be my Great Lakes.
I would be eager to add a Great Lakes region, but to me, Midwest would superscribe, would encapsulate the Great Lakes region as well.
All right.
Like you can be fair. Great Lakes and still in the Midwest because it's a larger
region. Then you could throw like Missouri and Iowa in Great Plains and then they're both Midwest.
I would say so.
I can get behind that. A lot of geography talk.
Now that probably we've got it all expecting. Figured it out. Yeah.
Speaking of something else really dumb, did you see the New Era mixed font cap releases today?
Oh, what is New Era doing? What is New Era run by? Did the Keebler elves take over because they stopped making the cookies in the tree? Like, who is in charge of New Era?
Surely someone is just having spasms when they're at their computer, and that's how we're getting these things.
These absolutely can't be ridiculous. Real, right? I mean,
so bad.
Not even you would wear a cap that ugly. And
excuse me. Excuse me. But
and you tend to, you know, try the youthful caps, you know, the broad tops and so forth. I'm more of I'm a decade older. I got the dad cap.
Yeah. And as Jerry Seinfeld notes, whatever era or whatever clothing we're wearing in our best era, that's just what you keep going with.
Keep going.
So yeah. I'm always going to have the flat bills and you'll always have the curved brim, which is fine.
But like people your age or slightly younger do wear some gaudy caps. Am I wrong with that?
No,
this
definitely
is,
not.
This is bringing gaudy to a new level. Like these are the font ones are ugly. Just like the area code ones they're hideous. What are they doing?
Yeah, they're so bad. It's hard to describe how bad those ones were. But anyway, so Eric, since the last time we spoke, I saw this story and I immediately thought of you. And I'm quoting from FR24 News here. I'm putting up the air quotes because this is a direct quote. A 65-year-old man woke up abruptly after a reticulated python bit him while sitting on the toilet at home. He went to the toilet around 6 a.m. and found and now I'm quoting the police report, pinch in the genitals shortly after sitting on the toilet. He then turned to see a meter and a half albino snake in the toilet bowl.
Okay, you read this and you thought of me?
Thought of you. I could see this happening to you. Maybe with turkeys instead of pythons, but now, still.
I would read this and think about you because, you know, you're the animal lover and maybe the animals love you back. Like, right from underneath.
Which is fine. Care to guess what country this is in?
It's got to be someplace south. Brazil.
Austria. It sounds like it was someone's pet that escaped. So yeah, that was actually a little bit of a false flag. So the man was hospitalized for minor injuries. So this is my big question for you, Eric. If you had to choose an animal to nibble on your genitals, which would you pick?
It's not ready for this question. I'm going to say a bluegill. Okay.
You're going to have to give me more on this one. Why a bluegill?
Have you never been swimming and had just like, they're a little startling, but a fish like nip you just like
no,
a little nip.
I'm not big for like natural water swimming. So that's kind of beyond me. But
when I was little, we had a cottage near Shelbyville in Michigan and we would swim all the time, all day, every day. And occasionally the little fish if you sit still, the little fish would come and nip you and it'd be a little startling, but it wouldn't be unpleasant. And occasionally, you know, they would get into your more white, intimate regions. And it's a little startling, but it wouldn't be too bad. There'd be no damage whatsoever. I wouldn't want a pike, but, you know, a bluegill would probably be fine. And you're underwater. Nobody's going to see. There's no damage. So that's why, given the 3 seconds I had to think about it, I'm choosing bluegill.
Truth be told, that is actually a fantastic answer. Like, I can kind of picture what you're saying here, and I think that is best case scenario.
Well, like, it's like the koi's who come and eat the feet, but maybe, you know, they're just kind of gumming them. They're lipping them. There's no teeth. No teeth, people. No teeth.
Yeah. All I could think of was like some sort of infant animal, something that hasn't gotten the big teeth to come in yet.
Okay.
But
like a bunny?
Yeah, sure. But I feel like you're all over this, so I defer to, as always, I defer to your wisdom.
You don't want anything with teeth or a beak?
Especially not a beak. That'd get real painful real fast.
And you don't want anything that, you know, man, there's any number of directions you could go or not go with that.
So if you want to get more of this kind of talk and also maybe some stuff about the Tigers and whatnot, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. We are on Facebook at Podcastianos. And as always, we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you're listening to the show at. Also, this show is brought to you by Moots Pizzeria and Bar, the Motor City. That's what they. Those are the shirts they should print.
Yeah.
The Motor City's only authentic New York pizzeria. It's become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene, amongst the best of the brightest. They also have favorites like Garlic Knots and the Uptown and Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and the Chocolate Lava Cake. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies or grab an authentic slice from their slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit MootsPizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, Moots validates 2 hours in the Z-Lot, which, as we've discussed on the show many times, is probably the coolest parking garage in the entire world. Yeah. Tell them that Jordan and Eric sent you.
Also, we're going to make the second New York food, you know, really popular in Detroit. The first being the Coney Dog. Isn't that interesting?
That's not ours?
Well, isn't Coney Dogs from Coney Island in New York?
You would certainly think that, wouldn't you?
I do think that, whether I'm wrong or not, I don't know. But I'm assuming Coney Dogs are from Coney Island. You know, there's the whole hot dog eating contest. I just assumed. But like Detroit embraced that as its imported thing from New York. Yeah. Just like that New York style pizza could be, you know, right at Moots. Go get your New York food. It's good.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So, Eric, maybe we should stay apart a little bit more, because since the last episode we did together, it kind of seems like the fellas have figured it out. 30 and 22 since May 8th.
It's incredible. I don't know the last stretch where you've been 8 games over 500, but it has to be a half a decade ago.
That's a very good call. I mean, it definitely hasn't happened since the David Price trade that kind of signaled the end of the old era.
So right? what are we ascribing this success to? Is it lack of quality opponents? Is it, you know, Hinch coaching them up? Is it dumb luck? What do you make of this?
Well, not to be that guy, but as always, it is a little bit of all of those things. You have a lot of guys who simply couldn't have continued to play as bad as they had. Finally starting to fit, like Jonathan Scope, like he was hitting what, .180, like a decent way into the season.
Discussed this. Yeah, he was bound to improve.
I didn't see this coming. Don't get me wrong, but he's turned into an all-star. Jake Rogers, Eric Haas have kind of solidified that catcher spot that, like, it had been really bad for kind of quite a while. Akil has taken off, and honestly, I feel like we'll get into Akil a lot more later, but I feel like Akil kind of has that helium to him. Like, when he gets going, other guys kind of feed off that.
He has a helium.
Oh, there we go. Print those shirts too.
No, do not print any shirts.
The pitching staff has continued to kind of roll.
Yeah, like, bingo.
I give AJ quite a bit of credit. Like, I do think there's something to kind of getting that winning feel. And, you know, I obviously credit Chris Fetter a lot, but I do think that it's a little bit of everything that you mentioned. It's been a good couple months to be a Tigers fan.
Yeah. I mean, to me, at one point, Skubal was 0-6 to start the year. And now since then he's gone 5-2, I believe. I mean, that's a big swing. And a big part of your rotation. I mean, Mize has just continued to improve. We got a couple wins out of Willie Peralta, which seems a little bit startling.
Not surprising. Startling.
A little startling.
You have been taken aback by Willie Peralta's success.
He's been great. It's been nuts. Manning threw in that one good start. So everybody's kind of contributing. Urania hasn't helped. But, I mean, everybody else has really, you know, done – I ascribe a lot of it to the pitching. I tell you what, if we get behind, we're fairly easy to beat. But if we get a lead and are ahead, we have some bullets in that bullpen as far as pitching goes. Like, if we roll out the good guys, we can win.
And that's without Michael Fulmer being available right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're definitely not wrong.
There is a lot of downside in our bullpen. We are good at conceding when we need to. But when we're ahead, we got some weapons. It's been fun.
I feel like that's the case. Well, what bullpen doesn't have some weak links, though? I mean,
right.
You're always going to throw your crappier pitchers when you're trailing by four or five runs. Like that, I don't necessarily take any issue with that. But yeah, let's just start with your boy. He's on fire again, Akil. You were on it. I don't think you actually believed that he was a good player. But from the minute that the Rule 5 draft happened, and that you heard the name Akil Baddoo, and that entered into your consciousness, you've been on him. He's kind of on fire again. You do.
He's on fire. I mean, he fought his way through an absolutely vicious slump.
He started real bad for a while.
Yep. He started magical, and then he could not hit the ball. I mean, just not made contact. He looked lost. But then it's almost like he took a step back and said, okay, I'm not going to muscle it over the fence every time. He had a little better approach. He started hitting some singles, and then slowly the power keeps coming back now, but without as many strikeouts. And now his walk to strikeout ratio is an acceptable range. He's hitting for average and for a little bit of power. I mean, he almost let off yesterday's game with a home run. It got taken back. I mean, so he has been warranting more trust too. Hinge is putting him in there in the leadoff spot. It's been an incremental increase in the amount of responsibility and opportunity he's had, you know, leading off more, facing a few more left-handers. And it's wise for Hinge to kind of build these things incrementally, but he's been able to handle most all these challenges now.
Yeah, I think when you said it almost seemed like he took a step back and reevaluated, like that seems spot on. Over a third of his walks have come in the last 15 days.
Right.
Like for the season. Like he's walking again. It seems like he got obviously too much hype early and maybe not quite enough hype now. I don't know, maybe we were burned by the first thing. But going back to when you mentioned kind of taking a step back, reevaluating and kind of re-strategizing, I feel like that to me is more encouraging than any of the good numbers. Like just this guy having the ability to kind of look beyond what he's doing on a day-to-day basis to try and figure something else out. Like there's not a lot of guys that can do that.
You know, I'll make an analogy. They teach little babies that you need to learn to self-soothe. You know, you have to figure it out on your own. Well, a good major league ball players figure out how to self-correct themselves. Like, oh, something's out of whack, so now I know what I have to do and I can get myself back on track. And that's a valuable skill. And the kid, I don't want to call him a kid, that's not fair. The man is 22 years old. Yeah, I mean he's a young man, and he does not have the mileage in the minor leagues as some of the other guys do too, so there's still a lot of upside. And you can see that he is an extremely exciting player. You know, he's got energy, his, you know, helmet's flying off, he's stealing bases, but you can see that there's room for a little polish yet, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
In 2 years, if he's still the same caliber, I mean, you could see him just by polishing a few aspects of his game really improve his capacity as a player too. There's upside there yet.
And for the first time in quite a while, I actually trust the staff to get him there.
Sure. Yep.
And maybe that's not fair on Gardenhire. I don't know, but
right.
Guys are improving now, and it's been a while since we've seen that.
Do you make anything of losing two staff coaches to head coaching jobs? So we just lost Chip Hale to Arizona. He was our third base coach. And we also lost Jose Cruz Jr. Am I saying that right? And he went to coach at
rice, I believe.
Rice. Do you make anything of that, or just kind of happenstance? That's just kind of how it works, because that's relatively rare to lose big league staff in the middle of a year.
I kind of attribute it to happenstance, but I also think that it's a good sign that AJ Hinch has appointed guys that have fresh ideas that other people want. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Nobody was coming, not to rag on Gardenhire, because he was what he was, but nobody was knocking on his door for any of his staff. Hinch right. has some of these guys that, you know, are bringing some of the newer, fresher ideas. And
yeah.
unfortunately, I think that's going to be the price of doing business when you have guys that are valuable, essentially.
We haven't really talked a lot about Hinch on this podcast at all. We talk a lot about players. We have not talked about Hinch. And I think that's relatively amazing. Every time I see him at a press conference, win or lose, the man is earnest, forthright, and exceptionally steady and calm. And what more do you want in a leader? Like, you don't know most days in a press conference by looking at them whether they won or lost, which is healthy. But also in the dugout, a guy gets a big hit or whatever, and he's in there with the boys a little bit. I mean, it's hard for us to observe. We're not there every day. But just from the atmospherics a little bit and the essence of it, it seems like Hinch has a pretty steady hand on the tiller.
Yeah, I really like him. Like you say, we're not in the clubhouse. We're not in the locker room, but which are actually the same thing. We're not in the clubhouse or the dugout. There we go. Those are two separate things. But he won a World Series. What you will with all the baggage that goes around there. Yeah, but he has done this before. He knows what he's doing. He's gone through this process, and he knows that there's going to be the ups and the downs. He knows we'll get to this later also, but he's handling Casey and Manning and Scooble in their innings. Like, this is something that he's been there before. Like, I don't think any rebuilding situation is going to be too much for him.
Right.
And then once hopefully we end up good, I don't think that any, you know, contending situation is going to be too much for him either.
Right. And you see little hints of innovation. I mean, he does not mind tinkering with the lineup. I remember, you know, Leland or whatever, some things would be cemented with the lineup. Now, different players, different set of circumstances, but Hinch does not mind. I think it was the first like 25 games he never repeated the same lineup.
Yeah, it was, with Leland, it was who's going to hit second, Rayburn or Marcus Thames, one or the other.
Yeah, and somebody's off, and you just put Don Kelly in that spot, so everybody else stays the same, obviously. But you see pretty dramatic defensive shifts. You've seen twice now squeeze plays, and sometimes it requires extra patience, and sometimes it requires extra aggressiveness, but he seems a little bit more innovative and ballsy than what we've had. And that's fun too.
And I think that the true nature of the essence and ballsiness is that he's willing to put on a squeeze play. Like, that's kind of against conventional wisdom at this point. Like,
it's passe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's willing to do whatever it takes to win a ball game, even if it's maybe a little bit against what everyone assumes, everyone thinks that he should do. It doesn't seem like he's real concerned with what Tigers Twitter thinks, and in that he's earned the respect of Tigers Twitter.
And even things like pitching Soto for five innings five hitters or two innings when he needs to, or stretching guys, or getting creative with the bullpen. I love how he's used Soto and Cisnero, and you know, a little bit interchangeable when the situation calls for it. I mean, that's just modern baseball thinking.
Definitely. Let's jump right to Gregory Soto.
Yes.
He was named our All-Star. It wasn't a whole lot in the way of choices. It was probably either him or Jonathan Scope. Do you think he was the right call?
Probably. You know, it's funny how the selection process works, because there's like a three-stage process. There's the fan vote, and then it goes to the players, and then finally the league kind of cleans it up and picks people. It was likely for the Tigers to have a relief pitcher, and Evan Woodbury laid this all out in an article. And even if Scope is a better player, it makes more sense. The Tigers need a player. They're probably more space for relievers. That's why Soto got it. I mean, he's worthy. Don't get me wrong. But it's more of a numbers game, really.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want to throw Jose Cisneros right in there too. Like, he doesn't necessarily have quite as gaudy a numbers, and he's not left-handed. But I mean, he's been so good this year too. Honestly, his numbers and Soto's numbers actually are really similar. So anyway,
but those two guys back to back have been dynamite, and I don't know if there's any brain games or chemistry or push each other or anything like that, but it's a fun narrative to tell that you have these two workhorses side by side.
Yeah, and honestly, we'll get into the Fetter effect here in a second, but he's coaxed some good innings out of some real randos this year too. We talked about Willie, but also Funkhauser. His emergence has kind of happened since the last time we recorded together. Joe, of all people, is somehow back now,
getting a little better.
Even Buck hasn't been terrible in his return. He's getting good innings out of randos, which is, I feel like I on this show all the time talk about, you see good teams turn bad pitchers into good pitchers, and I always think, why can't we do that? We kind of are doing that, at least to a little extent, whereas that has never been the case.
You might be wearing Fetter colored glasses a little bit.
I think that is well established, but my point holds.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're getting good stuff out of Funkhauser and Peralta, but why isn't he doing that with Brian Garcia or fixing Daniel Morris? I mean,
they're too far gone. There's nothing Fetter can do.
You got your own narrative going with these guys. I see.
But no, I mean, not to make light of it, there are some guys that a certain voice just isn't going to work for. I mean,
yeah,
but
yeah, Ballester was on last time, and I asked him about coaching. Well, you can listen to the episode. I don't have to recap it all for you, but basically he did not put a lot of stock into coaching and pitching. It was kind of like, if you're going to the pitching coach, you're not in a good situation. It's not going well for you. And I thought that was kind of fascinating. But
yeah, that is really interesting. I'd love to hear a couple other guys speak into that.
Coach them up.
Yeah, definitely. So the other thing though, the other thing we want to talk about was the three inning starts, in quotes, for Mize, Manny, and Scooble, kind of artificially limiting certain outings to keep them throwing, you know, throughout the entire season and not just like shutting them down in August or whatever. You like it?
Well, I think if you are going to limit innings, I like that better than skipping starts. Don't you?
Yeah, definitely. It gives them the experience of going through the ritual of starting. I don't know. Right. I feel like there's just, I mean, that's just muscle memory. I don't have any issue with it. I think that that's probably the right call.
Yeah. I mean, they at least established that pattern over a 162 game season. They, you know, figure out what it takes for their body and their mind to get through it. I think it's better than just sending some guy to Florida for a month in the middle of the season and just, okay, throw, hang out. And I don't know. I am also in the camp of being proactive in limiting innings. I know old school guys would simply say, well, back when I was a kid, you know, you just threw. Well, you also weren't throwing 95 miles per hour on every fastball too.
Yeah. Evan had Mize on pace for 170 innings at the moment. Like if everything stayed the same, which
that's a plenty healthy season.
Yeah, definitely. I like it. That's I like you say, I like that much better than shutting them down in August or shutting them down for a random month in sending them down.
Have you heard of this before? Is this a thing that I just hadn't heard about?
I mean, I can't imagine they're the first to do it, but I don't know that it's particularly common. Truth be told, I don't necessarily watch a ton of baseball outside of the Tigers. Yeah.
I did like how Hinch got ahead of it, was just like, I'm going to take him out after the third inning. He's not going to be injured or anything like that. So that was smart.
Yeah. Two more things. We'll run through these real quickly because we're far from experts on either subject. The first, Roberto Campos, the international signing from a couple years ago. I don't know. Time runs together. We signed him in the past. First pitch of his minor league debut, he went yard on. And holy cow, the swing is beautiful.
any video or pictures of Roberto Campos before this week was like seeing a video of a Sasquatch. Like, there was the outline of a person. It looked like a baseball player, but we don't know. It was all folklore and myth.
It was, and like now, the headshot on MLB The Show when they didn't have a specific picture of the player.
It was the gray silhouette. And we had like one picture of this young man. And now we have a video of him hitting a home run.
And it was beautiful.
It was good. Did you see the just like the bat flip too? It wasn't really bat flip. It was just like, this game's easy. What is the big deal?
This is what Roberto does. Definitely. I'm 100% bought in. And that's simply based on one swing of the bat. But it was
Bob
nice.
Fields. Bob Fields.
Bob Fields. Other thing, the MLB draft starts on Sunday, so this will be the last show before it starts. We have the third pick. Seems like there's a couple different ways that we can go. Prep shortstops have been mentioned a lot. Jordan Lawler, Marcelo Meyer, Khalil Watson, and I think it was Kylie McDaniel that linked us heavily with Brady House. I would be lying if I said I knew anything about any of them. College starting pitcher Jack Leiter is kind of the one that everyone knows the most about.
That's the name, right?
And then prep arm Jackson Job. So those are kind of your three routes: prep shortstop, college starter, high school starter.
His rocker not a thing anymore?
Velocity dip, kind of a bigger cat. I don't know. I think the Royals are kind of locked in on him at like seven, but he's definitely not going to go higher.
No.
So what direction are you thinking?
Okay.
All things being equal.
I don't know enough to break down each of a player, but I did see a little banter of like, well, we already have somebody who can do this or whatever. That stuff is nonsense. You need to take the best player who you envision being the biggest contributor to your MLB team one day, that to a MLB and MLB team one day. And you do not look at the position at all.
At any point in the draft, right? Like, it's constantly best available. Like, there is no other option.
How many rounds do they have this year? Do you know?
I think it's more full.
Is it? Okay, so now when you get later and you need to round out your minor league squad, I mean, these are the guys that you're hiring just to play catch with your prospects. So then you can fill a position or whatever. But early in the draft, no, you do not care. You take your best guess at who's going to be best. This isn't the NFL or the NBA. You just take the best player.
Definitely. I'm going to go on the record and say that I think they take Khalil Watson.
I think they'll take Leiter because that's the only guy I know.
That would be, I mean, he's really good. It would be hard to pass on him. But then again, they don't ask us. So
do you know the difference between Kamir Rocker and Leiter?
I feel like there's a joke coming.
Rocker is kind of heavy and Jack is a little lighter.
There was a joke coming and I kind of wish there wasn't.
What's the difference between it's like the hippo and what's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? A hippo is really heavy and a Zippo is a little lighter. Your face is disgusted, but I know deep down everyone's enjoying that.
I hope so.
That was an awful joke. All right, what else we got for the people?
Power rankings.
Oh, geez, I got to make up for it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.
Man, I've had a month off from power rankings. I gotta stretch the old PR muscles here. Let's go. I don't know if you've heard of this baseball player, but there's a guy named Ohtani. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard of him.
He is getting the Babe Ruth comparison, and for good reason. He is hitting bombs. He is pitching well. He stubbed his toe a little bit. But the guy is a god among men. Is he not? I mean, he's
1,000% is. Yep.
1,000%. He's so exciting. And yes, he's compared to Babe Ruth, but Babe Ruth faced, you know, part-time bartenders and potato farmers.
Plumbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Ohtani is getting the top of the heap of people from all walks of life, professionals and all races and parts of the world who have trained and now are the part of big time baseball. Ohtani is doing it against those people.
I'll say this. He had 100% of the guys he's faced both in the box and on the mound are full-time professional baseball players.
Absolutely. And very good at what they do. Babe Ruth was not hitting against people who are throwing 97 miles an hour.
No.
Anyway, so in some respects, Ohtani is doing something that's never been done, and he's doing it as a pitcher. But this led me to think a little bit about positions in baseball. And what do you think, or what do I think, more importantly, are the best positions to play in baseball?
Oh, okay.
So this could be, you know, in the majors, but also maybe high school or even little league. Like, what position?
Wow,
is the best?
You went deep this week.
Yeah, very philosophical.
Strained the old noggin.
Starting
All right, here we go.
Starting at number 7, I have left field. Left field. Of the outfield positions, this one is getting the most action. You're getting the most balls, especially when you play the U's. Everybody's hitting it to left field. You have a chance, a better chance to participate in the game as a left fielder.
And there's less running than in center field. Double win.
Starting at number 6, I have third base. You get quite a few balls there. You get to run in and charge the bunts. That's kind of exciting. And when you do field the ball, you get to show off, you know, guns. Show off that arm.
So I'm with you on all of those things, but what makes third base kind of suck is when it gets hit to you, it's a laser
it's a screamer.
At you most of the time.
It is a screamer.
So I guess it just depends on what you want in your position.
Yeah, get the married men off the infield. Isn't that the line? Be careful. Number 5, I have second base. Seems like kind of an interesting, fun position to play. You get to be involved in double plays. You get to cover the base on stolen base attempts. You know, cutoff man occasionally. Second base seems kind of cool. Number 4, I have
number 4,
first base. First base. You get to catch it on infield outs. That's fun.
And you get to throw it around.
Oh yeah, you throw it around. Also, this is an awesome part of playing first base. If you pick it, you know, you make a great pick. You're a genius, and you're a good guy. You helped. But if you miss it and don't make the pick, whose fault is it?
Always on the throw.
Always on the throw. That's right. So that's best of both things.
And you've played a little bit of first base in your day, right? Slow
sure,
pitch softball.
Yeah.
I feel like there is no play in baseball that is actually easier, but looks difficult than the pick at first base. Like, it's not that hard. It just looks like it is. I don't know.
It's so satisfying. So satisfying to make that out, to get that out at first base. And you had to do, you know, 10% of the work.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
First definitely. Base. Pretty good. Number 3, we have catcher.
Oh, woof. You can have this one.
You get to be a part of every play. You know, you get to banter with the umpire. You work the mental game, right? This is a thinking. This is like chess boxing. You have to be smart and intellectual and thinking, but you also need to be kind of tough. You know, block the balls, get down in the dirt. Yeah, you gotta be tough.
Have you seen the abuse that Alex Avila took for years behind the dish?
Remember that spark that went off his face mask from the baseball. That was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got beat. He took a lot in the face mask. Yeah. Number two, shortstop. I feel like the shortstop is getting the most infield balls. This is kind of the glamour position defensively. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you say? Like, would you, it's like the number nine in soccer. Would you say, you know, you get the,
yeah
there's definitely a little bit of prestige. All the pretty boys play second.
Look at you with your soccer analogies. Oh, I'm real impressed. Oh,
yeah. All the coaches' kids are playing shortstop. But good athletes, you get double plays, you know, you get to do exciting stuff. Shortstop's pretty good. Number one position in baseball. What do you got?
I'm going to guess left-handed reliever / swingman.
Good. Yeah, pitcher. We're going with pitcher. We're going to the Midwest. Not great. Like big pitcher, pitcher. So when you're the pitcher, you are the game. Yeah, you are in control. Nothing's happening without you. And talk about coaches' kids, too. I mean, they're always the pitcher. All the best kids seen in the Little League team get to pitch. I never got to pitch. Sad about that. But
depressed.
I'm so sad. I have so many regrets in life. So yeah, pitcher is number one.
I feel like that's hard to argue with. I mean, you're the show. That's what they called me when I pitched. I guess what we call some of the other guys that now that they're pitching, but
it's got to be disconcerting for pitchers when they watch themselves on TV, like afterwards. The camera is there. You can count how many nose hairs are sticking out of each nostril for these pitchers. It's like right up in their grill. I still remember Jabba Chamberlain, you know, with the midges and stuff. He's fighting. Poor guy. You got this camera right in your face.
Yeah. Jabba for sure was somebody that the camera could have given a little space to.
Yeah. Also, Kyle Funkhauser, you know, I his cheeks are glowing from the dugout. You get that up close. He's got the Gardenhire cheeks going.
I don't know what Funkhauser is, but he's got to have some Dutch in him, right? Like that's a huge Dutch trait.
Rosy cheeks. Yeah. Do I have a rosy cheek? Maybe.
Oh, you do. You're hardly even moving and you got him.
Wooden shoes and red cheeks. Okay. Three worst.
The Eric Wayne story.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Third from the worst, center field. You've already identified why this is bad. Center field.
Too much running.
It's a lot of running.
My apologies.
And
I didn't mean to jump the gun there.
You get no foul ball stand interactions. You're not stealing anybody's nachos playing his center.
That's true.
Bad.
That is true.
Second from the worst is designated hitter. Sure, you're not playing defense, but at least you can hit and you get to chill on the bench, chop it up with
sunflower seeds.
Eat sunflower seeds is pretty good. It's a good life. Nobody expects anything out of you. You can't look bad on defense as a DH.
I mean, I feel like you're outlining something good.
Number one, the worst defensive position in baseball.
I'm pretty sure right field's the only one left.
Right field is what's left. So I don't know about your little league, but they always stuck whatever turd was left and had to play out in right field. Nobody's hitting it to right field. You get no balls. You get no action. You just got to run out there, stand there like Brennan Bosch out in right field, until the inning is over, and then you can run it. In the majors, it's only a little better. Usually you're sticking some chump out in right field. That's it. That's power rankings.
All right. That was good. That was good.
Was it?
Sure. So I've spent a lot of time on the road while not spending much time on the side of the road. But we just had the 4th of July, what, like 3 nights ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you live, but I live in South Bend, Indiana, and I'm apparently surrounded by a bunch of hillbillies because the fireworks were just going wild all night long. And I tweeted this out, but I feel like I always enter the 4 thinking it's one night. Let them have their fun. it'll be fine. And then by like 10:30, I am ready to go out there and fist fight somebody. Like that's, you know,
it's one night. Stop being an old man.
Have your fun, but do it quietly. Do it quietly.
Do have your quiet fireworks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so anyway, out running today and yesterday, I was able to locate where the fireworks were coming from the, you know, remnants skewed out on the sidewalk. And it turns out that they were literally everywhere. So that's,
I'm guessing you, as you went by, gave them a passive aggressive frown.
No, I gave them the other finger. It's when you give the ring finger, it means screw you. It's softer.
Such a child.
So that's what I've seen on the side of the road while running. I'm home now, so I should have more time on the sidewalk. Hopefully I will see more things.
We want a hubcap or, you know,
dead armadillo
and, you know, an old deodorant can or something.
Oh, I forgot to tell you this one. I did see, remember last fall when I saw a bunch of the playing cards on the side of the road that were all, I can't remember, either diamonds or hearts. I saw another one again this spring. It's wild. I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on.
There's a rogue magician around losing his cards.
Just missing a few in one specific suit. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Twitter questions.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Twitter questions. I don't think we have much in the way of Twitter questions. They use, let me see. Oh, maybe we got a couple more.
That's all right.
I'm bantering because I'm looking them up.
What a professional. Looking up and bantering at the same time.
Yeah, now I'm going to go derp, derp, derp because I can't figure out what to say next. Okay, now.
I don't think anyone will notice that as being different from normal.
Harsh. Harsh but fair. Okay. Will the tight? This is Steve Johnson at Cold Blue with two U's, asks: will the Tigers be over 500 by August?
No.
No. That would be stunning.
That would be fun.
They'd have to win. They have to win like 8 consecutive games or something like that to be back to 500.
I'm going to go on a limb and say they don't do that. Not to be the poo-pooer, and I feel like I've said this exact statement on the show before, but I think the stretch that we just finished may be the best stretch of the season, and we might want to prepare ourselves for that.
Although we did it against Houston, and
we love playing Houston. I'm assuming Houston? It's like rah-rah for AJ or something like that.
Almost as much as we love playing Seattle. We're 5-1 against Seattle.
Well, it's because Seattle's trash.
We're 5-2 against Houston. The White Sox, we've won 4 and lost 9. So not so good.
That's not as good.
No, but
a lot of people will tell you that.
White Sox are really good. Who else have we beat up on a little bit? The Royals were 7-6 against the Royals. St. Louis, we had that 2-0 series.
Yeah, we own the Cardinals. There's no doubt about that. Undefeated.
The only team that we've played that we haven't beat was Oakland. We've played them 4 times and lost 4 times.
Yeah, they own us. Like, just historically. I can't remember a time that we've had good series against Oakland.
Never been good. Cam Gerard at Cam_Gerard asks, short sell short or stock up on short stock?
Play on words. I feel like this one's for you.
You like that? I'm buying short.
He's
which is
terrible.
Not to say short buying. Zach Short?
He's booty. He's so bad.
He's not bad. I like Zach Short, and I'm buying Zach Short.
I like him personally, but he as a baseball player is very
good. What do you
good.
Not like about him? He's got plate approach. He hits you some sneaky power. Not even sneaky power. Power. He plays a good defense.
He is not as good as Harold Castro.
Stop.
That says everything you need to know. When Harold Castro is a better ball player than you, I'm not going to like you. That is
Zach Short hits for a ton more power than Harold Castro.
Okay, he's got 3 homers and Harold has 2. I mean, that is 50% more, but I don't think that is significant.
I disagree. I'm high on Short. I like Short.
Somebody has to be.
Although
his mom. I mean, those are the two, I'm assuming.
Hey, you leave me and Mrs. Short out of this, okay? But yeah, okay, he struck out 6 times in a row. Sure.
Nothing to do with that. He's Who just a bad it? Baseball player.
He is not. He's fine. I like Short. We'll see. We'll see if he sticks around. I like where how we're using Harold Castro as the metric for Mr. Short. Poor Harold. Evan underscore 1995-0 asks, remember when people, this is in regard to the hats that we talked about. Remember when people were concerned about the Nike logo on the front of the jersey? I still don't like the Nike logo.
I do, but I'm also a Nike guy. But yeah, the multi-font ones are bad. This is one I want to bring up to you. Did you see the Giants one? Like the Golden Gate Bridge, like into the clouds color scheme?
Oh, are you talking about the whole uniform, the Alcatraz theme uniform? I just saw a little bit of it. Are they good?
People have been dogging on it. I actually kind of like it. I mean, granted, I'm a big bridge guy. Everyone knows that.
Everybody knows that.
I kind of think they're cool. I didn't say that on Twitter, though, because I don't want to get yelled at.
I like the Boston Day ones, the yellow and blue for the Boston.
I like those, too.
I thought they were cool.
I like bright stuff, so.
But everybody, like my friend is a big White Sox fan, and he loved the White Sox South Side jersey, but I just thought those were okay. They looked a little gas station-y for me. Like,
yeah, you never want to go full gas station-y. I definitely agree with that sentiment.
They just looked something not quite right. They're a little knockoff, but I don't know. Anybody who's not us, I'm good with innovating. Mix up your jerseys, do whatever, because it just makes us look more awesome. Because we just want one thing. And that's why, who commented here? Oh, who trying a ball at who trying a ball?
Who says, trying a ball?
Who trying a ball? You trying a ball? I just want the old D back. And I am with him. I want the old rounded, non-matching jersey D. I'm petty for that, aren't I? No, everybody else has moved on.
That is definitely true. I'm not sure that I'm calling you petty for that, but you are definitely the only. Well, you and Who Trying to Ball are the only two that are still on that.
Thank you. I'm trying to ball. Evidently, Who Trying to Ball?
Yeah, Mr. Who Trying to. Yeah, definitely.
Mr. Ball. Michael Litzner, who's a regular questioner at Litzner, asks, how close to 500 do you see the Tigers getting by the end of this favorable July schedule? He makes a good point. This has been pointed out a couple of times. The July schedule is looking a little bit easier. We have, and I'm scrolling down, we have two more at Texas, then four at Minnesota. Those are winnable games.
Minnesota will find a way to take three of four.
And then we have, wait a minute, is this right? Then we have four home against Minnesota. We play Minnesota for eight consecutive games. Is that right?
I mean, if you're looking at it on the internet, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably decently
correct. Oh, because the All-Star breaks in the middle. So we play four at Minnesota, All-Star break, and then four home Minnesota, and then four home versus Texas. So we play a total of three teams this month.
Interesting.
We play 15 games versus Texas and Minnesota this month. That's crazy.
I like it. Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah. And then we play a series at the Royals, and then what? More Minnesota.
Twins.
Who is making this schedule? Okay, so yes, a favorable July schedule. I don't know. It will. Close to 500?
The Twins are a dangerous team. They're not as bad as they've been. Eventually, they're going to start riding that ship, and just historically speaking, it's probably going to be at our expense.
We're seven.
Like I'm the poo-pooer tonight, apparently.
Or seven games. We would have to go in this month. There are, what did I say? 8, 12, 13. There's 14 games this month. Do the math. We'd have, it's not going to happen. But
he's close, though.
Anything's possible. So I will say within four games of 500, we could pick up three games this month.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Sure. I'm big on moderation.
Yeah, we all should be.
Oh, here's Who Trying to Ball again. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You trying to ball? Uchernabal asks, how, when, why? No more Mazzara. How is he on the team? When's he leaving, and why is he in the lineup? There has been a lot of Nomar Mazzara discontentment.
It's true.
Are you on are you trying to run him out of town with Uchernabal?
As always, you need to look at who are we replacing him with?
Right.
Your boy, Derek Hill, an option. Nico will be due to come back at some point. He could play in the outfield. The other option that a lot of people, I've seen a lot of this on Twitter, is Jacob Robson. Not on the 40-man, I don't believe. Kind of a journeyman in the system.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
We don't pay attention to AAA numbers for like, I can see why you would think that he's earned a chance, if you want to give it to him, I have no issue with that. But none of these guys are significantly better than Mazzara.
Right.
So I feel like I don't have the energy to get worked up about something like Nomar Mazzara.
Yeah. And if you're going to say, oh, you know, we need to go to the kids, you need to play Derek Hill, one of the young people, over Nomar Mazzara. They're essentially the same age. I mean, Derek Hill is 25 and Mazzara is 26. I mean, they're the same age.
So Daz is a little bit of a different case, but then again, Daz has an injury issue.
Yeah, Daz, yeah. So if some of the players get healthy again and Mazzara is struggling and standing in the way, sure, send him down. But right now, whose way is he in?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. He's kind of like Urania. Like, what else are you going to do?
Somebody has to fulfill that role.
We're a rebuilding team, and somebody's just got to be there and absorb some of the suck that's happening. And we don't have anybody. No, he's not standing in anybody's way.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. That's Twitter questions this week.
Nice. I don't mind that. I like a good Twitter question, but keeping it tidy is also not
keeping it snappy.
Also, I'm just looking down at my notes, and I have like bold heading for each of the segments. And under Twitter questions, I just have the words Dowell Lugo. I have no context. It just says Dowell Lugo. I have no idea at what point that got.
Where were you going with that?
I don't know, but I'd love to get into the headspace of myself when I wrote that. Yeah. So
there's a player that took more energy than in headspace than really he warranted.
Yeah. It was just that he was the closest to the big leagues when that trade was made.
And we were desperate for something.
Yeah.
Did you see Hinch's quotes about trading just today? Hinch's quotes about trading Scope or a reliever. And basically the essence of the quote was, you know, there were times where teams could just come and pick out what they wanted for a discount. Well, we're not there anymore. This keeping these guys around is going to help the rise of Detroit, basically. And I found this fascinating for a couple of reasons. One is you're setting new expectations for teams who might want to add somebody that, oh, maybe you have to pay up a little bit more. And two, he's making these comments. You don't see Al making these comments, and he's kind of earned the right. And I'm sure Al is fairly comfortable with him doing this kind of work and saying these kinds of things. I found it quite fascinating.
Yeah, I think he has. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he has more say in personnel than Gardenhire.
Yeah.
I'm like you say, I'm comfortable with that. Honestly, I'd probably rather have him picking guys than Avila. Like, it's obviously very low bar. But yeah, no, I'm completely
but what if the
behind
trade,
it. I think it's good.
How are you going to feel if the trade deadline comes and goes? And one of the big contenders, and we keep Scope, and one of the big contenders buys some other infielder for a prospect. Are you going to feel, and then Scope leaves. I mean, he's going to be a free agent again after this year. Are you going to feel cheated or bad that we didn't trade Scope?
I mean, not to cop my way out of this one, but it just depends on the prospect. Like the era of, you know, a rental for a prospect, like it's kind of over. Like nobody does that. I don't really like, if we don't get the Brewers number 10 prospect for Jonathan Scope and someone else does
for their
comparable, like I'm fine with that.
Give me the rest of Scope. Give me the other half of the season.
Yeah, and you know, feel even stronger about guys like Cisnero that I feel like normally we'd be like flip, but we are close enough that at some point we could need him to compete. He's very good. Like,
and the second halves of some of these seasons, like 19, 18, like we trade these guys away, and the second half becomes brutal to watch. It's circling the drain. Give us something to dream on a little bit. Keep them around just to, show some of the other guys some excellence and some wins in the clubhouse. That's got to be worth something, and maybe worth more than the Brewers' number 10 prospect. Who knows?
And the other thing that people forget is, like, the trade deadline isn't the only time you can trade guys. Like, you can increase somebody's value by having a good second half to the year going into the following. Like, I don't think that's the plan for somebody like Cisnero, but it could be. I don't know. But
we'll see. I think we're going to be more reluctant to move everybody and their brother this year. If we have, I put the over under at one trade.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a very quiet deadline. It could be I kind of think it's going to be zero. And like you say, I'm completely fine. Like if somebody wants to come and offer a top 200 prospect.
Yeah.
By all means. But I just don't think that's going to happen for Jonathan Scope. And it probably shouldn't. Like if we're being honest, like I don't know, maybe he has more value to a contender than I'm assuming. But I wouldn't trade somebody that you can dream on in the farm system for a half a season of Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is if somebody just does not have a viable alternative, they're just so hungry for an infielder, and then they're going to be worth something. He's going to be worth something. I mean.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan, here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you.
So
fortunately, he plays first and he plays second now. Versatility. That's Coach what the people up. Like. Get some going. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos. Eric, it's been a good show. Good to shake some of the rust off, as you say.
Rework those PR muscles, which I shudder to think where in the body those are located. But I'm glad that you haven't pulled any of them.
Right where the snakes bite.
Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
Good to have you back in the driver's seat, Hall. You know, shepherding the cats, keeping it all together. Good to have you back.
Good to be back. And with that, we will see you all next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.